Thursday, November 10th, crunch time, this.
You'll have to excuse my friend. He's a little slow.
Luckily, I have prepared for such an event. The lightning round!
I think it's kind of obvious. Don't throw that boiling water on me, because it's really hot and I'll get fifth degree burns in three parts of my body, and you'll go to jail because you're a felony crackpot.
Okay.
Take it away, Nick.
Moving on. Mike Trout is just 25. He ended his fifth full season in the majors. He's been a Rookie of the Year, MVP, top two in MVP voting every year in his career so far. He won his fifth Silver Slugger Award today, but he's only played three games in the postseason when the Royals swept the Angels in the ALDS in 2014. Trout is signed through 2020 for $144 million. The hot stove is heating up. Rumors of big names being traded. Should the Angels trade Mike Trout? A, no. Trout is the face of a franchise. He might even be the face of baseball in Anaheim, and the Angels need to compete with the Dodgers for fans, ticket sales. There is no amount of players, prospects, or whatever teams might throw in to lose Trout. Or B, yes, if Trout really is the best player in baseball, he needs to prove it in the postseason. The Angels have a struggling pitching staff, and he won't be able to carry the team himself to the postseason, especially with how good the Astros, Rangers, and Mariners have become in the West. The Angels need to rebuild with prospects, picks, and pitchers to make the team better without him.
You know the weird thing? Because of his age, making $24, $25 million a year. It's not like he's even overpaid.
Right.
And they've got him locked up. They'd be nuts to trade him. At least give it a year and see if they're heading in the right direction. For his sake, he may want one. From the organizational standpoint, no way. I'm going, no. Hey.
Speaking of big stars in LA, is it time for the Rams to start Jared Goff? A, yes, Case Keenum has thrown two more picks than touchdown passes and only two less picks than Ryan Pickpatrick of the Jets. Clearly the Rams aren't going 7-9. They're going to be a whole lot worse. B, it's not time for Goff, but certainly time to move on from Keenum. Goff might need a redshirt year in the NFL, and since he's the third stringer, technically the second stringer, Sean Mannion, should be up and playing. Or C, no, Goff isn't ready, and at best, he's just as bad as Keenum is with the Rams lacking receiving options and an O-line that can't even get Todd Gurley going.
I'll tell you what, I do believe throwing a quarterback in there, if you honestly believe he's not ready, will do more harm than good, and I think seeing what Mannion can do, knowing he's what he'd be doing would be auditioning for other backup jobs, maybe a starting job with a bad team. So I'm going to say no, go with Mannion, which I believe was A.
That was B.
Or B.
That's close. Who has the best case for NFL MVP right now? A, Matt Ryan, leading the league in passing yards, touchdowns, completing his passes at nearly 70%, averaging 331 yards a game, working with one of the most efficient offenses in the NFL. B, Derek Carr, he's fifth in passing, only three interceptions, but he's worked comebacks against the Bucs and others, led the Raiders to their best season since 2002. He's working in the value of most valuable. C, Tom Brady, after missing four games and only playing four, he's thrown for already 1,300 yards, no picks, 12 touchdowns, has his highest completion percentage so far. And even though he hasn't played every game, he's proving he's one of the best. Or D, anyone else? Julio Jones,
Field.
Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Ezekiel Elliott. Who you got?
Aaron Rodgers.
I'll tell you what, the Packers have. I really
like the kind of season Matty Ice is having, but that division is not very good. Right now, two of the six AFC teams, aside from Oakland, would all come from the West, and I really like this guy. I'm going B, my boy, Derek Carr.
All right. The Chiefs went from 1-5 last year in October, and now they've won 17 of their last 20. They've got a strong running game, check down passes from Alex Smith like crazy, and a tough defense that the Chiefs have become very well-rounded team. They're second in the AFC West, holding on to the number wild card spot, but are the Chiefs primed to make a deep playoff run? A, no. The Chiefs aren't at the same level as some other teams in the AFC. They're hurting themselves with injuries from guys like Smith and Ware. Their defense is strong, but not enough flaws to get past the first round. B, the AFC is very weak after the Patriots. Case in point, the Raiders are the number two seed right now. Sure, the Chiefs can take advantage of a weak conference, maybe get to an AFC championship if things go their way. Or C, let's pump the brakes on this to see how they're doing a couple weeks from now after playing the Panthers, Broncos, and Falcons in three of the next four, when they'll be looking ahead to three division games out of their final four down the stretch.
Actually, I think you make a great point. Not only are they playing the Panthers, Broncos, and Falcons, they're playing at Carolina, at Denver, and at Atlanta. After that, they still play the Raiders and the Broncos again.
Yep.
So I think C makes a lot of sense, and contrary to me ever making sense, I'm going C.
All right. Our last one, it's our Twitter poll question of the day. We run a promo of Aaron Fentress saying the Ducks might go undefeated and be a one seed in the NCAA tournament. Ventress seems to not be alone on this pick, although he said this quite a long time ago when it seemed pretty over the top. A lot of college basketball experts are picking the Ducks as the Final Four team. They see Dylan Brooks as a possible player of the year, Coach Dana Altman as Coach of the Year, and even some are picking the Ducks to be national champions. Out of those four, which is likely to happen? A, the Ducks making the Final Four. This team is coming back with four starters that already beat Duke, led by Grayson Allen / Ted Cruz, and likely won't have to run into a Buddy Hield in the Elite Eight. The Ducks making the Final Four is the most possible. B, Dylan Brooks, Player of the Year. Record aside, players will play, and we've already seen a lot of good from Brooks. He can only get better and prove he's the best in the nation. C, Dana Altman for Coach of the Year. He's taken many Oregon teams without four and five-star recruits deep into the tournament. Now, after an Elite Eight run beating Duke, the Ducks will have more eyes watching on them this season to see how good of a coach Coach Altman is. # bend your knees. Or D, national champions. The Ducks basketball team doesn't need a $10 million a year coach to win a title. They've got all the pieces right now to win. And that, and while a lot will happen between now and March, this team can win another NCAA title.
I can't say it's ever likely that a team will win a first national championship, so I'm doing a POE, process of elimination. D is out. National Coach of the Year with these kind of expectations will be difficult unless they go and one and two. Player of the Year, Dylan Brooks, I don't think so. I think the Final Four is likely. Just for the simple fact, if you finish first or second in your conference and you enter as a 1-2 or a 3 seed, you're just in it. It's almost like in baseball. If you make the playoffs, you've got a shot. So while all, I wouldn't categorize any of them as likely, I do go with A because I think they've got their best shot, or as good as they had their previous 3 years when they made it to the Elite Eight, to make the Final Four. By gum, we go A.